If you have your Bibles, if you would find the book of Esther tonight. Book of Esther is located in the Old Testament. I am not sure that I knew what the Lord was going to do when he began to put some thoughts on my mind and heart as to what our Wednesday night Bible study ought to be. But he's been giving me some messages that I hope to be very practical and very visible in our lives. I preached the first message about when God works behind the scenes, and sometimes he'll do that in our lives. We don't necessarily see his hand, but we can trust that he is at work and that he is providential, that we are always in his understanding. We're never left alone. And we need to know that sometimes that even though we may not see things, or we may be limited in what we think our ability to manipulate or maneuver a situation, that God works behind the scenes for us. When we pray, he hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And we trust him. Second message was when God drags you through the mud. I've heard that a lot as I've been talking to you. And man, Pastor, God's dragging me through the mud. Or I felt like I've been dragged through the mud. I was glad you were listening on that. Sometimes God does do that. And he drags us through there to humble us. He drags us through there to show us some things. And our responsibility is to remain obedient during those times. And I hope and pray that you do remain obedient during those times. 2 weeks ago, it was when God takes the long way. And sometimes God, like the children of Israel, doesn't take us the short way in life. He takes us the long way. Lord, why won't you let this happen now? We talked about our timetable, God's timetable, why God would do that. God has a purpose in mind. He has his glory in mind. He has his people in mind. And so, Pastor, why doesn't God answer this prayer right away? Why does it seem like I have to wait? Why is it taking so long? Remember, God doesn't do anything without purpose. And so we looked at that. And then we preached on, I had this message prepared last Wednesday, but the Lord in his timing set it for tonight. As we preached in Romans chapter 12 about our gifts on Sunday. By the way, the testimonies are already coming into me, how God has enabled you to be a blessing. And I've enjoyed hearing that. And I appreciate the fervency you've had to act upon those. And I know God is using that in a wonderful way. But I want to preach tonight a message entitled this. And I want you to listen to the title because it's important. The title of the message is, When God Wants to Use You Specifically. When God wants to use you specifically. I think sometimes in a generic statement, we always know that God wants to use us. Pastor, I want God to use me. If you would like God to use you, say amen. We understand that. And I think we get a big picture mentality, and it sounds good to say that. But I have found that there are times when God targets in on us and puts us in a position where he specifically wants to use us in a manner. And it's that mindset that I want to address tonight from the book of Esther. I think Esther is a beautiful picture about how God sometimes wants to use a person specifically, where he doesn't want to use anybody else, he wants to use you. Everybody may know about it, but it's you that he wants to use. Other people may be more qualified. Other people may be more spiritual. Other people may have more experience. Other people may have more time. Other people may have more resources. But the problem is, God doesn't care about others. He wants to use you specifically. And so I find that in the book of Esther. Now, you know the story of Esther. You understand that it's a beautiful story about God's providence. You understand that Esther becomes queen in the land here. She's replacing Vashti, who was a queen, and the king wanted Vashti to do something that was sinful, and Vashti said, I'm not going to do it. And so based on her integrity, the king dismissed her because of some other wimps who said, if your wife doesn't obey you, then our wives won't obey us. I love that verse in the Bible. I read that often. And so he said, well, for your sakes, I'll punish my wife so it will keep your wives in line. And so he exiles Vashti from being queen. it's not long, he regrets that, and he remembers his bad decision, and so he wants a queen. And you remember, they hold this contest. It's a beauty contest throughout all the land, and all of the beautiful young virgin women are brought before the king, and then he's going to choose one to be his wife. Long story short, he ends up choosing a lady named Esther. And Esther has a couple of things going for her, but one of the private things that she has is that she's a Jew. She's of Jewish descent. And she has an uncle, Mordecai, who's really influential in her life. And so here you have King Ahasuerus, and you have this Jewish girl, and he falls in love with her immediately, and he makes her his queen. Now, Hollywood has made a movie on it, and others are captivated by it, and they want to kind of put that spin on it, but ultimately it boils down to the providential hand of God, because God knew in just a few days that there would be a plan out to annihilate the Jews. And so God in his foreknowledge and God in his wisdom, God in his sovereignty, understanding that he had made a promise to Abraham and through his seed, understanding that the Jewish nation could not be wiped out, then God begins to insert pieces into the puzzle to protect the Jewish people. God really didn't care about Esther being queen. He cared about the Jewish nation. And so he puts Esther in this position of authority, in this position of power, so that he can work through her to protect the nation of Israel. And you know the story, how Haman is defeated. He's hung on his own gallows, and it's a marvelous testimony to the providence of God. By the way, the name God's not mentioned in the book at all, but his hand is all over the book. I want to concentrate tonight on the fourth chapter, and I want to look at some verses here and stick with this thought about when God wants to use you specifically. And so I want you to understand that knowing the background, when you come to chapter number 4, Esther is already queen. Esther is already in her place of authority. When you come to verse number 1, if you look at chapter 3, verse 15, the last words of that verse are, the city is perplexed. There's chaos everywhere because there's a death sentence upon the Jewish people. And so when you come to chapter 4, verse number 1, Mordecai is getting ready to announce to Esther what she does not know at the time. All right, so when you come to chapter 4, verse number 1, Esther does not know about Haman's plan to annihilate the Jews. But when you come to chapter 4, verse number 14, and you look at the last 12, 15 words of that verse, it says, "And who knoweth," this is Mordecai's statement to Esther, "whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Now, you may have heard this Bible phrase before, "for such a time as this." We use it often in describing the hand of God. We use it often in describing the timing of God. So in chapter 4, verse number 1, Esther has no idea what is going on. Mordecai, her godly uncle, does know what's going on, and immediately Mordecai sees the providential hand of God in putting Esther in her position of power. And so as he's communicating to Esther, he's bringing it to Esther's attention that, Esther, you have been allowed this position and brought here for such a time as this. And he's referencing the sovereign providentiality of God as to Esther's position. I wrote a statement down here. God never moves without plan or purpose. Never. God is omniscient. His hand is always ahead of where we are. And in our lives, not only does God have a general plan and a general purpose, but there are times that God puts you in a place for such a time, even way before you ever knew you were going to be in this position. I've seen this so wonderful in my own life, because I'm married to a woman that I believe that God put providentially before I ever knew. And God had my wife at a school that I wasn't going to. God shut down my school. God did a work in my dad's heart. God had to do a work in my heart. But God brought me to a different place as a senior in high school. That's where Beverly and I met. And I really believe that there was a setting there that was for such a time where God specifically targeted in on me. And there are times in your life where God puts you there specifically according to his plan, according to his purpose, according to his omniscience, according to what he wants to accomplish. You may not know anything about it, but there will come the phone call and God will let you know that I've got you here, that I want to specifically use you. If you've ever had that happen, could you just kind of say amen? All right. So I think sometimes there's this phrase out there that says there's safety in numbers. And as a mass, we move as a church and say, we want God to use us. But I'm telling you, there are times that God's got you in your job that you hate, but he's got you there for such a time. And there are times God's got you living in a community that you wish you could get out of, but God's got you there for such a time. There are times that God's got you relating to people that you don't understand why, but it's for such a time. And God's going to let you know when he specifically needs you to allow him to use you in that moment. That's what you come to in Esther chapter 4. And so, Pastor, how do I recognize these times? How do I recognize in my life when God wants to specifically use me? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Look at Esther chapter 4, and let's just begin in verse number 9. In verse number 9, the verse says, and Hadak, that's Esther's helper here, came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. All right? Now, in verses 1 to 8, Mordecai is sitting out there in sackcloth and ashes, creating this huge scene of repentance and this huge scene of weeping and mourning. And Esther hears about it, and she sends Hadak out there to find out what's going on, because Esther really doesn't want to be embarrassed by Mordecai. He's one of those uncles that he doesn't want to be embarrassed by. And so she sends out to find out what's going on, and the word comes back to Esther, and Mordecai tells her of the need in verse number 9. Pastor, how do I recognize if God is specifically wanting to use me in a moment of time? First thing is, you become aware of need. Don't let that go through your brain too fast. For some of you, there's not much there to hold it, so we've got to pause just a second. Don't let it jump through there. Sometimes spiritual, physical need seems to reach out and literally stop you dead in your tracks. And you, in an environment you never thought you would see something spiritual, come face to face with a spiritual need. For example, you're in a conversation and somebody is just cursing like crazy, taking the name of God in vain, and then they'll make some kind of statement and say, well, there just has to be more to life than what I know. Oh, there is. But I got to go get the preacher because he'll tell you about it. Or you're at work and you see a need. There's a situation when you become aware of a need, one of two things happens to you. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 4. The Bible says, now this is when she first recognized Mordecai's issue. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. All right? So Esther becomes aware of the need in that moment, and she can either accept responsibility and understanding, Or her initial mark was to just cover up the need and maybe it will go away. And sometimes in our lives, God lets you become aware of a specific need. You've got two choices. Either you can say, here am I, Lord, use me, or we try to do what we can to make the need go away. There's other people that will help. They could talk to somebody more spiritual than me. They can do this. No. When God, the Spirit of God, pricks your spirit and you see need, that's probably a good idea that God wants to specifically use you. Now think about how quick we are to walk away from need. I mean, we see need in the church and outside the church. We see need from everybody from a homeless person to a successful person. We see need all the time, and we just are so quick to put some clothes on and cover up that need. And a lot of times God's saying, no. I got you sitting here at this red light right now because this guy needs a dollar and he needs a track. He can get his dollar from somebody else. No, if God let you see the man and God let you see the need, if you're going to give him a dollar to eat, we ought to give him something for his soul. So when you're at work and you hear, you become aware of need, that's not just because there was something accident said. For such a time, Esther became aware of a need. All right? Now, once you become aware of it, you can either try to cover it up or you can become responsible to it. And then, once you are become aware of the need, you become aware of the solution. Look at, if you would, in verses 8 and 10. 8 through 10. Here's Mordecai in a conversation to Esther. Also, he gave him, that was Esther's assistant there, her king's chamberlain, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree, that was the death sentence, that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. And again, Esther spake unto Hadak and gave commandment unto Mordecai. All right? So here's what happens. She becomes aware of the need, and then also she becomes acutely aware that she's part of the solution. So how does that work for us, Pastor? Well, I see a need, and then if you have the Spirit of God living inside you, have you ever had the Spirit of God say, do something about it? Oh, no. Now that involves me. And so I see a need in the Spirit. I had this example at Sam's a while ago. There was a mother standing there, and she was with her kids, and they wanted a gift or something. It cost $30. Somebody had given me a $30 Walmart card. I don't know what I got it for. I had it in my pocket, and I was going to buy something specific for it. I remember that. I just don't remember what I was going to buy, but I had a specific thing. And I heard that lady say, no, kids, we can't buy that. They said, it's only $30. And she said, do you know how long it takes, Mom, to make $30? Man, I thought, wow. Wow. And then when I'm standing there listening to that, the Spirit of God said, you have a $30 Walmart card. I said, oh boy. I wrestled with that. I'm not giving him my $30 Walmart card. I want to go buy this thing. He's not talking to me. I misunderstood the Spirit. I'm just going to go on about it. I got in the checkout line. All of them were long the whole time I'm standing there. Go find that woman and give her your $30 card. Go find that woman and give her a $30 card. Go find that woman and give her, would you leave me alone? People are looking at me. Finally, I got up there about ready to put my stuff down. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why am I fighting the Lord? So I walk all the way around Sam's. I see this woman. I walk up to her and I say, listen, ma'am, you have no idea who I am. I said, but I'm a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And I heard what you told your kids back there about needing $30. And I want you to take this card, and I want you to have it. Oh, you would have thought I gave her $1 million. And bless you. I'm going to tell you, as miserable as I was before that moment, I turned away from there, and I think I walked on air outside going to Sam's. There are times, and you know I'm telling you the truth, you hear and become aware of a need, and then the Spirit of God says, oh, yeah, by the way, you're part of the solution. Couple things happen when you become part of the solution and you you either immediately get hammered by fear or faith begins to grow. You either succumb to fear or you submit to faith. And here are some excuses that we use, and it's interesting that Esther had to be faced with these. Look at verse number 11. And the king's servants, and all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know, this is Mordecai talking here, that Esther's talking to Mordecai, and she's giving her reason why she can't go and be part of the solution. That whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there's one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been, what's that word? Called. Now I want you to know something. There is a calling to ministry. I was called to full-time ministry. And there might be a specific call where God lays his hand on a man or a woman and says, I want you to serve full-time for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every one of us, whether we're called to full-time service or not, had the responsibility to allow God to use us however he wants to use us. So Esther says, I've not been called. And here's what she was saying. She's looking to hide behind anything humanly she could speak of. So she's saying, "I, as a queen, I don't have the authority to go in here. If he doesn't extend the scepter, I'll be killed." And she's hiding behind human authority. The problem is, I read in my Bible that God is our ultimate authority. And God had called her, and God had placed her. And there's a lot of times we can become aware of a need. The Spirit of God wrenches our heart that we're to be part of the solution, and we seek some kind of shelter in the fact, well, I've not been called. God didn't say it to me audibly. I'm not the preacher. I'm not this. I'm not this. And forgetting all that, God has me in that moment, and when the Spirit of God speaks to you as to be part of the solution, my friend, you've been called at that moment. At that moment. And she's looking to be hidden away. Look what else she does in verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not. We've been coming to this word think a lot lately. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. So here's Esther's mentality. She becomes aware of a need. It's revealed to her that she's part of the solution. She comes up with two statements. Number one, I haven't been called. And then in her mind, she's thinking, it doesn't affect me. I'm not part of this. So many times we let our mind trump the Spirit of God. You have got to learn how to bring thoughts into captivity and how to submit by force, if you have to, your mind to the still small voice of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God expresses to you something, I don't care what your brain tells you, you ought to go with the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God says, give this guy a track. Your brain says, he's working. Your brain says, he doesn't want to hear it. Your brain says, it's not the right time. But your brain's not God. God spoke to your spirit or made you aware of a need, provided that you're going to be the solution. I have found this. If I will react to the Spirit of God, I will be right every time, and I will enter into a relationship with God using me that I never dreamed possible. And so here's Esther. I haven't been called, and it really is not my battle. You know, he may kill all the Jews, but I'm the queen. And Mordecai is saying, it does involve you, and you better not let your brain get in the way of the truth of God's word. You better not let that mind come over the Spirit of God. So how do I recognize, Pastor, when God's wanting to use me specifically? I become aware of the need. The Spirit of God will let me know that he wants to make me part of the solution. Number three, I better become aware of the ultimate. What is the ultimate? Look at verse number 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, what class? I perish. Pastor, how do I recognize if God's wanting to use me specifically for a moment? Okay, here's how you'll recognize it. It will usually always be dangerous. Well, I don't like that. Why would you say that? You just lost me. What do you mean by it'll always be dangerous? Spiritual service will always take you out of your physical comfort zone. I'm going to say that again. Serving the Lord will always take you out of your physical, what did I say that word was? Comfort circles, thank you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? When we serve the Lord, it'll always be by faith. Yes, Esther realizes, okay, this is I could perish here. I need you to pray for me, basically, is what she has them all do, go and fast. And so when God allows me to be aware of a need, the Spirit of God lets me know that I'm going to be part of the solution. Immediately, there's a battle for fear or faith, where I'm going to go. Am I going to provide excuse or I'm going to do that? And then I need to understand in my heart that it's going to be dangerous and it's going to take faith. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take trust. And that's the way God wants it to be. And so many times we think, if the need is not simple enough for me to meet without faith, I'm not going to participate. But God will never bring you to a need that you can meet usually within yourself, because God doesn't want you to get glory. He wants that glory. And so God will allow you to see things, speak to you, and then you better realize, yeah, if it's got a little bit of danger or a little bit of uncomfort, that's probably God speaking to you. And so he wants you to step out and trust him by faith. And if it's so small that you can meet it without ever thinking about it, then that's probably not necessarily the way that God's wanting you to go. So I become aware of the need. I'm aware of the solution. I'm aware of the ultimate, that there will be danger. There will be a step of faith. And then you better become aware of chapter 5, verse number 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, and she begins to give him her request. The last thing that I need to be aware of is the peace of God. The peace of God. Can I ask you this question? I want you to think for yourself. We're going to be done because I got to go see if my kids are winning. Have you ever experienced God's peace? Try to think of a word that describes not the salvation, not peace with God. Try to think of a word that describes the peace of God. If somebody has the peace of God upon them, what are some words that would describe them? Settled. What? Tranquility, calm, joy, assurance, courage, contentment. Those are words and descriptions that you don't know unless you ever step out in faith trusting the Lord. Pastor, it scares me to death to do what I believe God's wanting me to do. Well, we're all there, but I do find once I submit to the to the actual thought that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I lift up my voice to God and I say, now, God, I'm going to do what I believe you want me to do. And I don't know how this is going to work out and I don't have the ability, but I'm fully trusting you. I have found that in that moment, the peace of God begins to come upon my life. And it's almost like it's not even me, but it's him doing it. By the way, that's serving the Lord. When it's not us, but it's him. Man, I was just saying things, Pastor, and I was pulling verses, and I was making application. I didn't even know I knew all that stuff. That's right. But God let you see a need. God, the Spirit of God says you're going to be part of the solution. He lets you understand that, yeah, it's going to bring you out of your comfort zone, and you're going to have to trust him. But then I'm aware of God's peace going through that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You won't know God's peace until you take a step. Then you'll know God's peace. If you're going to sit there and you're going to analyze in your brain the scenario, you will never take a step. Your brain will defend your flesh every time. Every time. If you do that, you could lose your job. If you do that, they may never speak to you again. If you do that, and your brain will say, if you do that, this is going to happen. And that brain will try to protect you all the time. That's why you have to operate in the power of the Spirit according to faith. And if you're not doing that, and you just begin to analyze every situation, then you'll never take a step. That's why you pray. That's why you read God's word. Esther analyzed the situation. All she wanted to do was run. She said, go over there and pray 3 days for me. And as God's people prayed and she prayed, faith began to get into her heart. She began to trust the Lord. She began to see the direction, and she was able to go with God's peace. Most of us, if we're not careful, we become aware of a need. It's told us that we're part of the solution. We begin to analyze it, and we never pray. We just make a decision based on what we've analyzed. I'm not called. That's too dangerous. I'm not going to step out. But I found when you get on your knees and you go to God and say, now, God, I've become aware of this and I sense your leadership here. I am scared out of my mind. But if you will enable me, I want you to use me. You will be amazed at what God will begin to do in your heart. Amen. So has God got you someplace where he wants to use you specifically? Nobody else. You. And he's just drilling it into you. I want to use you. I want to use you. I want to use you. Well, I'll wait for somebody better to come along. No, there's nobody better than the Spirit of God. And he'll do that work through us. When God wants to use you specifically, how do you recognize that? You'll become aware of a need. The Spirit of God will tell you you're part of the solution. You'll become aware of the fact that it's going to take faith. It's going to bring you out of that comfort zone. And then you better become aware with God's peace through prayer that will enable you to carry that out. I have failed many times in this area. I would want to say that to you, but I don't want to fail. I want God to know that he can use me specifically. If you want him to use you, say amen. All right, let's be aware of that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, so many times we get pricked in hearing about a spiritual need or any need. And then as we think about it, the Spirit of God says, I want to use you, you, Tom. I don't have anybody else there. I need you. I put you there. I want to use you. Me, God, you. Oh, boy. That scares me a little bit. Well, he understands. Then it will require faith. And as I step out in faith, I'll know God's peace. But I do not want for any believer to live their life and never know God specifically using them. And I think we see it, and you communicate it to us. We let our brain get in the way. We let our brain get in the way. And then we go under the protection of that. Help us, Lord. The more I'm in this city and the more I'm around people, the more that we live in this community, we realize people need the Lord everywhere. You hear them talk, they don't have a sense in their head, not a biblical thought at all. We become aware of these situations, and God wants to use us. We are to be salt and light. I pray, Lord, I don't know. I don't know why you let me get sick last week and why we're preaching this week, but somebody's here, and you are making it as plain as the nose on their face that you've got them providentially where you want to use them specifically. And they need to see that. And they need to pray, and they need to be strengthened, and they need to move to action to what you're calling them to do. Don't give up on them. Be relentless. Hit their heart and their mind. Lord, for truly there's no greater joy than being used by you. Thank you for our lesson tonight. May it be practical in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.